Welcheman. Welcome to Shiur and Svano Pashas Nitzavim. A couple of dedications tonight. First to mention a dedication from two nights ago from Jay and Chava Gottlieb, marking the yard site of Jay's mother, Alta Rachel Bas Yosef. Tonight also the Shiur is dedicated by Marty and Fran Schulman, marking the yard site of Mrs. Ida Gittleman, Rivka Bas Anshel. And the Shiur tonight is also dedicated by Reuven Goldman, marking the yard site of his grandfather, Dov Ber Ben Tzvi. The Neshama should have an aliyah, Shesimosh Nachas Ruach, from the Torah Mitzvahs of Ma'isim Tovim, that the respective families are involved in. There are a few very beautiful and memorable psukim towards the end of the Sedra. They comprise all of the aliyah of Shishi, which in a year like this, you know, when we just read Nitzavim by itself without Vayelech, Shishi happens to be very short. Beginning Pasuk Yud Aleph, we read the following. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos asher anochi mitzavcho hayom, for this mitzvah, which I am commanding you today, lo niflesi mimcha, it's not something which is wondrous beyond you, v'lo rechoko hi, it's not far away, lo v'ashomayim hi, it's not in the heavens, leimor, such that you should say, mi'ale lonu ashomayim avi kocheho lonu, who's going to go up to us to heaven and take it for us? Who will enable us to hear it such that we shall perform it? This mitzvah is not on the other side of the ocean. Lamar saying, who's going to go to the other side of the ocean and take it for us? And cause us to hear it, that we should follow it. No, that's not, none of this, it's not inaccessible. Because this matter is very, very close to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart to be able to perform it. Very, very beautiful psukim. Whatever this mitzvah is not inaccessible. It's not in the heavens. It's not on the other side of the sea. You know, it's something that you can access, it's close to you, you're able to do it. What's this mitzvah? Ki ha mitzvah zos, right? This mitzvah. This mitzvah is something that is within your reach. So what is this mitzvah? So there's a famous comment from the Ramban over here. The Ramban starts off by saying, Al kol ha-Torah kula. One way to interpret this series of psukim is that ha-mitzvah hazos, this mitzvah, refers to the Torah in its entirety. The Torah is not something that's beyond you, it's not in the heavens, it's not beyond your grasp, it's not on the other side of the ocean. The Torah is something incredibly accessible. You know, you just have to try and you'll be able to plug in to the Torah itself. That interpretation that we're talking about, the Torah itself, certainly seems to be the interpretation of Rashi. Rashi writes explicitly on Pasuk Yudalid, Ki karov eilecha, right, this matter is very close to you, HaTorah nitno lachem b'ksavu ba'al peh, writes Rashi. The Torah was given to you in writing, in a written form, the Torah shebiksav, and in an oral form, the Torah shebaal peh. So clearly Rashi's understanding is that the discussion over here is the Torah. The early previous Rashi alludes to this idea. Lo v'ashamayim hi, the Pasuk says that it is not in heaven. And Rashi comments, Shilu hoiso b'ashamayim, had it been in heaven, hayiso tzorech lalos achareho lulamdo, you would have to go up to the heavens themselves and to learn it. The reference to learning it seems to imply that we're talking about the Torah. That seems to be the subtext, the assumption in Rashi. And indeed, we certainly see there are many midrashim and chazal that seem to interpret these psukim as talking about the Torah as a whole. Just to take an example, v'lo me'ever la'yomhi, it's not on the other side of the sea. So chazal comment in one of the midrashim that, you know, if you're a seafaring person, you're constantly traveling around, which back in the day meant that you were on a boat a lot of the time, you're not really going to be able to acquire profound knowledge of Torah because you'll be too busy with all of your business pursuits. So again, the implication over there is that we're talking about the acquisition of Torah knowledge, Torah understanding, limud ha-Torah. But then the Ramban goes on to say, although that's one interpretation, that we're talking about HaMitzvah HaZos refers to the Torah in its entirety, the Ramban is not so happy with that interpretation, because he says, when we want to talk about the entire Torah, the phraseology used is Kol HaMitzvah, all of the mitzvahs. HaMitzvah HaZos seems to be singling out a particular mitzvah. And says the Ramban, the mitzvah which is being referred to is the mitzvah of tshuva. Why the mitzvah of tshuva? Well, because the first 10 psukim of Perek Lamed are all about doing tshuva. It's called the Parshas HaTshuva, as we spoke about over the past 2 days. So HaMitzvah HaZos, this mitzvah is following up on the previous psukim. We were discussing tshuva in the previous psukim. And now goes on the Torah to say, you should know that tshuva, even though it seems to be a very hard thing to engage in, it's not as elusive as you think. It's not as inaccessible as you think. Tshuva is incredibly close to you. And if you put yourself to it, you just, you know, apply yourself to trying to achieve tshuva, you'll be able to do so properly. That's how the Ramban understands these psukim. And that itself, besides just being a very interesting and important interpretation of the psukim, it also establishes that for the Ramban, there is a mitzvah of tshuva. It's not obvious that a mitzvah of tshuva actually exists. That doesn't mean that we don't have a concept of tshuva, but it could just be that the Torah prescribes tshuva as a method for erasing one's sins. Theoretically, if the person would want to not do tshuva and just suffer the consequences of having sinned, all right, that's his prerogative. Comes the Ramban and says, no, it's not simply that there is this concept of tshuva. It's not simply that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a gift of tshuva, but there's a mitzvah of tshuva. We have an obligation to engage in tshuva. It's not enough to say, look, okay, you know, so I messed up. Nobody's perfect, you know. A person has to proactively try to engage in tshuva, to correct the misdeeds to whatever extent possible that he had that he had performed previously. So that itself is a major point that the Ramban is making. There is a mitzvah of tshuva. There's a major literature within the Rambam. Does the Rambam hold that there's a mitzvah of tshuva? The way the Rambam talks about tshuva, he says that the mitzvah from the Torah is that when a person does tshuva, he should confess, which leads some, like the Minchas Chinuch, to assume that the Rambam doesn't actually have a mitzvah of tshuva. The Rambam just says that there's a mitzvah that when you do tshuva, you have to do it in a certain fashion. You have to verbally confess the sin, you know, but there isn't a mitzvah per se to do tshuva. So the Ramban clearly would argue with that understanding, in understanding that there is a mitzvah to do tshuva. This Ramban and his understanding of these psukim is really the foundation upon which the Svarno's interpretations, which we're going to see in a moment, are really based. The Svarno assumes, like the Ramban, that the mitzvah hazos, this mitzvah which is being discussed in these psukim, is the mitzvah of tshuva. And he writes as follows. Hatam sh'omarti v'ashivosa elevavecha b'chol agoyim. The reason that earlier, back in Pasuk Aleph, the Ribbono Shel Olam told the Jewish people, while you were in Galus, consider the correct path that you should take, consider what's right and consider what's wrong. In order for the Jewish people to be saved from Galus, they have to engage in tshuva while still in the Galus, while still in exile. Huki omnam zos hamitzvah shel tshuva she'anochi mitzavcho hayom. Because although this mitzvah of tshuva, which I am commanding you today, in other words, clearly hamitzvah hazos is a reference to tshuva according to the Svarno, right? Clearly that is a mitzvah that applies b'chol chet, that applies any time a person does a sin, that he has to try to do tshuva and, you know, engage in that process. But it's imperative that the Jewish people as a whole do tshuva as a group in order to exit from the galus. And lest you say, how can we expect the Jewish people in their downtrodden state in galus to be able to do tshuva, I want to tell you the following, says the Pasuk. Lo nifleisi mimcha. The concept of tshuva is not something hidden or far away from you. What does that mean? Says the Svarno, shetitztarech l'neviim. Tshuva doesn't require that we have neviim, that we have prophets that show us the way to do tshuva. Now it's true that throughout Jewish history, or it's at an early point in Jewish history, we did have neviim, we did have prophets, whose major focus was to show us the path towards tshuva. That's what the neviim primarily were all about. But don't think that just because we don't have neviim anymore, that somehow we as a people are incapable of doing tshuva. That's a mistake. Furthermore, v'lo rechokohi, tshuva is not far away from us. That is to say, shetitztarech l'chachmei hador harechokim, sheyifarshu l'cha. You also, not only do you not need neviim, you don't even need great chachamim, great talmidei chachamim, great sages, to explain to you exactly how to do tshuva. A person might say, you know, there are gedolim, you know, who can teach us how to do tshuva, but they're very far away, right? You know, it's not the Svaro didn't know from, you know, WhatsApping your favorite gadol and trying to get an answer back, you know, in a matter of a couple of minutes. He wasn't familiar with that phenomena. I'm not sure how accurate those texts or those WhatsApps would be in any case. So, okay, good, they're chachamim, but they're far away. How are they going to help us on the path to do tshuva? Don't worry. You can do tshuva even if the chachamim, even if the great sages are far away. Ba'ofen shetucha lasosa, afilu ba'odcha begalus. And indeed, realize that it's possible for the Jewish people to do tshuva even while they're in galus, even while we lack neviim, and even while the chachamim might be very far away from us. And the psukim go on to explain, lo vashomayim hi, tshuva is not in heaven. Besides being a very poetic turn of phrase, you know, that it's not in heaven, why is that particular metaphor chosen? That, you know, tshuva is not something off there in heaven. So he writes, lo yikra l'cho b'ininat tshuva shetitztarech bo l'agadas navi. This, the next pasuk that says this mitzvah of tshuva is not in the heavens, is elaborating on the idea in the previous pasuk that you don't need a navi, you don't need a prophet in order to enable us to do tshuva. It's not in heaven. The navi may have access to things that are going on in heaven. He may be able to connect to God. He is able to connect to God in a way in which the rest of us are not able to. But tshuva is not there in heaven, that you need the navi to somehow plug into it and bring the concept of tshuva down here to earth. And furthermore, lo me'ever layom hi, tshuva is not on the other side of the sea. Gam kein lo tizdarach ba l'chach me'ador harachokim sheyifarshu l'cha. This second pasuk elaborates the second idea that the Svarno had that the pasuk had spoken about before. Lo nifleisi v'lo rechoka. It's not covered. It's not far away. It's not covered up in the heavens where only a navi can access the idea of tshuva and explain it to us. It's not far away, such that I have to travel to Yushalayim or Bnei Brak in order to encounter some chacham, some gadol hador who's going to be able to explain to me what tshuva is all about. It's not on the other side of the sea. No. But often she has the efshar l'chol v'galus. You have to understand that tshuva is possible for every Jew, even in galus, even without a navi, even without a gadol, even without a talmud chacham. To do tshuva, what you need is yourself. And honesty with yourself and looking into yourself and the readiness to change. You don't need any expertise to be able to do tshuva. You don't need an outside expert, be he a navi, be he a chacham, to enable you to do tshuva. You just need to work on yourself. And he says, don't think, in this regard, tshuva is not like psak halacha. When it comes to psak halacha, Yikre be'ezo mitzvah shenofal ba'sofek, v'titztarech l'peirush chachmei ador. Sometimes you'll have a very complicated halachic question that you need a gadol b'Yisrael to be able to pasken on. You're right, that you're not going to be able to do on your own. That the answer to that complicated halachic question might be on the other side of the ocean. It might be that there's some great Talmud Chacham far, far away who's the only one who can answer that question. But that what's true of psak halacha is not really true of tshuva. For tshuva, you don't need expertise. For tshuva, b'ficha uvovavcha la'asoso, as the pasuk concludes, it's in your mouth and your heart to be able to carry out tshuva. What does that mean? La'hakir bilvavcha es chato'echa. You have to recognize in your heart that you've sinned. Everybody has a heart. Everybody has discerning knowledge. Everybody can figure out for themselves how they sin. You have to then recognize in your heart that you've sinned to God, and you have to rectify that. You have to regret having sinned. And you have to confess verbally the sin that you've committed. Okay, it's not a simple thing, but the tools to be able to do that, the tools to be able to do tshuva, are things that you have. You don't have to go outside for an outside expert to be able to accomplish tshuva. B'ficha uvilvavcha la'asoso. In your mouth, in your heart, you already possess the ability to be able to carry out this mitzvah. So therefore, don't despair. You have the tools already. You know, you just have to recognize that you have these tools and put these tools to good use in order to accomplish tshuva. Again, it's an important message that the Sfarno is leaving with us at this particular time of year. The psukim, the parsha finishes off with even more stirring psukim. Pasuk says in Tesvav, Re'eno sati lufonecha ayom es achayim ves hatov v'es hamoves v'es hara. Behold, I have placed before you today life and goodness and death and evil. And it goes on to explain how you have these paths in front of you. And then in Yud Tes, the pasuk says, uvocharto b'chayim. Now that you have this choice in front of you, life and goodness, or conversely, death and evil, uvocharto b'chayim, choose life, leman tichya ato v'zarecha, in order that you and your children shall live. And then Pasuk Chaf seems to be a little bit of a non sequitur. La'ahava is Hashem Elokecha lishmo b'kol u'dav kabo. The Pasuk starts off with the infinitive. To love Hashem your God, to listen to His voice, and to cling to Him. The syntax is a little bit funny. We're starting off with an infinitive, and it's not clear what that infinitive connects to. On these psukim, the Sfarno writes as follows. I've placed before you hachayim, life, says the Sfarno, lo'ad, everlasting life, v'yes hatov, and that which is good, ha'orev b'chaye sha'a, that which is pleasant in this passing world. V'yes hamoves, death, lo'ad, eternally. V'yes hara, and that which is bad, tsar chaye sha'a, the difficulties, the stress, the pain that's associated with this world. The Sfarno is actually giving a very unusual interpretation of this pasuk that starts off by saying that I've placed before you chayim and tov, right, life and goodness, and moves and ra, and death and evil. I think we usually interpret the pasuk in the following fashion. There's a choice here between chayim and tov, which are on one side of the equation, life and goodness. Life and goodness go together. And on the other side of the equation, there's moves and ra. There's death and evil. Those two things are coupled together on the other side of the equation. If I'm so to speak at a crossroads, there's life and goodness on the one side, there's death and evil on the other side. The question, however, according to the Sfarno, seems to be as follows. Given that choice, you know, life and goodness versus death and evil, what numbskull would pick death and evil? What kind of choice is that? You know? Can either live and have good things, or you can die and have bad things. Yeah.
Got 30 seconds, you know? What kind of choice is that? It's an obvious choice. Right? So, okay, so we say, okay, the person who's faced with the moral dilemma, the choice, doesn't necessarily understand, you know, that this is evil, that this is good. Svana comes along with a different interpretation. He says, there are really two different choices which are being presented. A person in life has a choice between Chaim and Tov, between life and good. What do you mean? Those are actually opposites, says the Svarna. Because very often in life, the choice which is presented to us is eternal life or temporal pleasure. Right? In other words, there's Chaim, there's eternal life. If I choose to do this mitzvah, I will, you know, acquire life in the next world. But the choice on the other side is Tov. Tov is not such a objectively good thing according to the Svarna. As per what the Rambam writes in the beginning of his Zmar Nevuchim, Tov means something which is pleasurable from a sensual perspective. Tov means it's good right now. Most of the moral dilemmas we have are between things that are good and enjoyable right now. And on the other side of the equation, we have eternal life. Right? Usually picking eternal life means that we sacrifice that which is good and enjoyable right now. And the other choice, which I often have in life, is between Maves and Ra. Those are not two co-joined things, death and evil. That's usually the choice that I have in life. When we talk about Ra, according to the Svarna, it doesn't mean moral evil. It means something which is painful or not pleasurable. Usually in life, I have a choice between doing something which in the short term is painful or not pleasurable. I mean, you know, I'd rather have the cheeseburger. It will be tastier if I have the cheeseburger. I'm going to feel better in the short term if I have the cheeseburger and substitute, you know, all the things that you can think about instead of a cheeseburger for cheeseburger as it is, right? So that's one side of the equation. But on the other side of the equation, if I, you know, if I don't make that sacrifice, I'm acquiring for myself death in an eternal sense. I'm acquiring for myself spiritual death. Very often the choice is between short-term pain or long-term punishment. Uvacharta b'chayim, between that which is pleasurable, but that which is everlasting life, choose everlasting life. That's the message which the Torah is giving to us. In other words, you know, yeah, in the short term, you're going to have to make sacrifices. You're not going to have always, you know, the most pleasurable time choosing that which is right and that which is good. But in the long term, you know, you'll choose for yourself nitzchius, eternity, by making that particular choice. And that is the concluding pasuk of Acharta b'chayim, choose eternal life, l'mantichya atov izarecha li'avos Hashem Elokecha, in order that you and your children should live to love Hashem your God. So we pointed out that it's a little bit funny to start that pasuk with the infinitive, that you should live to love your Hashem, your God. Explains the Svarna, V'yomarti shetivchar b'chayim. The reason I'm telling you to choose eternal life, lo ke'ovid amenas l'kabel pras, I'm not telling you to choose eternal life like somebody who's just looking for a reward. I'm not telling you, do this in order to acquire eternal life. In other words, that should be your motivation. Aval amarti m'shetivchar mashu chayim be'emes bilvad. I'm telling you that you should choose that which is true, the true life. L'man tachbos b'chaye shol l'zeh tachlis b'lvad shetohavis Hashem Elokecha b'hakircha tuvo imrov godlo. L'avos Hashem Elokecha, the beginning of Pasuk Vav, means in order to love Hashem your God. Choose life l'man tichya, in order that you should live. It's all one continuous phrase. You want to be the kind of person who lives in order to love Hashem. Your desire to live should stem from that desire to be able to be granted the ability to love Hashem, to listen to Him, to cling to Him. This is all not just things that, you know, the Pasuk is not just simply saying that you should do these things, but this is the motivation for uvacharta b'chayim. Choose life la'avos Hashem Elokecha. Choose life
you know, such that you, you know, in order that you'll have an opportunity to love Hashem, to listen to Him, to cling to Him. That's enough of a motivation to want you to choose life. You know, not that you're looking for eternal reward, right? Although you'll get it, but the motivation should be what a privilege it is to be able to love Hashem. They say a vort from the Lev Simcha of Ger. It's relevant for this time of year. We're going to start saying it in a few days. Zachreinu l'chayim, melech chofetz b'chayim, v'kosveinu b'sefer ha'chayim, l'mancho elokim chayim. So the standard translation is, kosveinu b'sefer ha'chayim, write us in the book of life, l'mancho elokim chayim, for your sake, you know, living God. The Lev Simcha said that you can translate the phrase a little bit differently, and it's in a very poignant way. Kosveinu b'sefer ha'chayim l'mancho. Write us in the book of those who live for your sake, who want to be granted life in this world to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not just asking Hashem on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, give us life. Of course, we are asking Him, give us life. But not just give us life because this way we can have an extra vacation, an extra car, an extra... Kosveinu b'sefer ha'chayim l'mancho. Write us in the book of those who live for your sake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want life to be able to serve you, Hashem. And that, in a sense, is really what the Sfarno is bringing out of the Pasuk as well. V'charta b'chayim la'ava es Hashem Elokecha. Choose love with the motivation. Choose life with the motivation that life is about loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wish everybody a good Shabbos. Rav Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Rav Sa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos es Yisrael.